Good evening. We're going to have just one hymn this morning. We'll have hymn number 38, so we'll all stand together. Hymn number 38 from the Hymns of Grace, little spiral hymn book.
Sinner saved by grace, you who by faith God's Son embrace, tell all you hear your voice below, the death of love to Christ you. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. He left his Father's throne above and came to earth on wings of love. For us he lived, the perfect man, and so fulfilled the law's demand. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. Jesus endured his Father's ire and died at the appointed hour. What he endured no tongue can tell to save our souls from death and hell. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. From death's dark grave our King arose and triumphed over all our foes. Up through the skies the victor rode and reigns on high, our Savior God. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. From heaven Christ will quickly come and bring his ransomed people home. There we shall see his lovely face and chant the praises of his grace. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee.
Please be seated.
I'll be speaking to you this evening out of Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 14. Father, we come before you tonight, Father, wanting to glorify God and glorify Christ, Father, to spread the gospel. We'd ask, Father, that if it be thy will, you'd give me the grace, Father, to speak the words that are in my heart, Father, that I might show your love for us, Father, and the things that you've done for us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we came here, I knew almost nothing about sin, believe it or not. I knew that Christ died on the cross for my sin, and I knew that my sins had been forgiven, and that was just about the end of it. You would wonder how a man could be strong on a sovereign God, strong on an eternal salvation, and still not know how to handle personal sin. Y'all have been here for, what, 20 years. You've heard this again and again and again. But when you've never heard it, I told before we started this message, I told them, I said, I've never in my whole life heard a message on the two natures of man. And if you've never heard that, if God hasn't opened your eyes to it, you have absolutely no assurance. You don't have any kind of a hope like you should have. You read the scriptures and it just scares you to death. The wages of sin is death. Well, you can live with that because everybody died. But how about this? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That covers just about everything. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Seeing we're cumbered about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us cast aside every weight. What that means is this. If you are not able to lay aside the weight of your responsibilities with your family and your job and the world and politics, if you can't lay that weight aside for even just a little while, it's not a faith and it's a sin. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. If you think there's not any sin that's going to easily beset a child of God, that in itself is a sin. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. If you murmur against the providence of God, if you don't realize that we're going to have to get through this life to get to heaven, if we don't run with patience the things that God has in store for us, that's not of faith and it's a sin. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the author of my faith, that's a terrible sin. That's blasphemy to believe that I have anything to do with it. I'm looking to Christ and I'm looking to myself. That is a terrible sin. It's not a faith. If you don't believe he's the finisher, that's also not a faith and that's a sin. Well, when you don't know how to handle sin, those things will scare you to death. They'll go about in a depressed state of mind. You feel like a hypocrite all the time, which I do anyway. You just feel like that there's something wrong in here because I'm supposed to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But they're not new. I still have some of the same thoughts I had before God called me. I still say some of the same things I did before God called me. And unless God opens my mind to the fact that there's no good thing in the flesh and I'm still living in the flesh, I'm never going to be 100% happy. I'm never going to be able to exercise faith like I should. I'm never going to be able to lay everything on the Lord Jesus Christ if I'm watching my own sin. If I'm watching my own sin, I'm not looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Now, like I said, y'all have been living with this for 20 years. Greg's the best preacher I've ever heard. So you don't have any problem with it, the two natures of man. But it's a problem for a lot of people. It's what the Puritans called the Christian warfare. They'd mention a warfare and they'd forget it. I studied extensively after the Puritans. They were legalist. They were Sabbatarian. As far as they was concerned, Christ forgave you sin and fast and you had to take care of the rest of it. Now that's just exactly what most preachers preach, most Calvinist preachers. But that's not true. That is not true. A sovereign God who will ordain the way of salvation, who will ordain me to eternal life before the world ever came to be, he will take care of everything. Everything's been taken into account. So the warfare that we're going to take a look at tonight is common to all of us. We're in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. Now, this is the man that was well versed in the Old Testament scriptures. He was a teacher of the Jews. They say that he was one of the leaders in the Sanhedrin. This is the man that when God called him, it was visible to everybody around him, knocked him right off of that horse down on the ground, blinded him, and spoke to him with an audible voice from heaven. This is the man that was caught up to the third heavens. This is the man who saw Christ. And yet he says, I am carnal, and I'm sold under sin. That's the thing that we're going to talk about tonight. The two natures of man. We're going to be discussing the law of sin and death, because that's what this is all about. And what is the law of sin and death? Most people say it's the Ten Commandments, but it's not. There's the Ten Commandments have their place. I would never deny that. But there's a law that came before them. That is the law of sin and death. Because the law of sin and death has to apply to everybody. Everybody has to be under it. Now, anything God tells us to do is a law. Believe it or not. People say, what is sin? Sin's whatever God says it is. Sin is the transgression of God's law. Sin is a transgression of God's law in this respect. The children of God's sins are forgiven. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is God's law. So they've not transgressed the law. But what is the law of sin and death? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17 is the first mention of anything about law and sin and death. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, out of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. That's a law. That is the law of sin and death. That's what's going to happen if you transgress that law. Now, the transgression of that law is in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked. That's such a short account of such a big thing. In just a few minutes, ever how long it took Eve to reach up and take that fruit and take a bite of it and give it to Adam, ever how long that was, just a few minutes, Adam killed every man, woman, and child that's ever been born and ever will be born. He gave us the law of sin and death. Everyone that's ever been born is under the law of sin and death, with one exception, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. The angel told Joseph, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ is not the seed of Adam, he's the seed of the woman. Sin comes through the line of the man. We inherit it. Adam stood in our place. Every one of us, everyone that's ever been, everyone that ever will be, was in Adam's body when he was in the garden. Now, whether Adam knew it or not, I don't know and I don't care, because it's already been done. The sin was taken care of before the foundation of the world, but it doesn't change the fact that the natural man, the man in the flesh, is carnal and stays carnal. Now, how bad is it? Well, the scripture says in John chapter 3 and verse 17 that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him shall not be condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is that condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. He's not just talking about the people of that day. He's talking about us. We are born into the kingdom of darkness. We are conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. Excuse me. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ told the Pharisees that ye are of your father the devil, and the sins of your father ye will do, he's not just talking to them. We are all children of the kingdom of darkness, and he is the God of darkness. Now, people don't like hearing that, but it's true. It's true. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17, speaking of God the Father, says this: who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If we're born into the kingdom of darkness and we're translated out of that kingdom and into the kingdom of God, at what point did we ever belong to ourselves? At what point did we ever claim to have free will to turn to God? Born in darkness, translated into light. No in between. No in between. The law of sin and death took us over, and it strangled the whole human race, and we'll never be free from it until we die. Never be free from it until God takes us home. As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to be under the law of sin and death. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. We're all familiar with that. You can have the best, or me, I can have the best intentions in the world, and somewhere along the line, I'll lose sight of them, and I'll do something silly or something stupid, something I don't want to do. And after it's all over, I look back and think, why in the world did I do that? The flesh, the carnal man, the natural man, doesn't really pay any attention to anything but itself. And that's still part of us after God calls us. The things that we want to do, we can't do them. The things we don't want to do, we seem to wind up doing them. If then I do that which I would not, I consent under the law that it's good. The law said, do this and live, don't do it and die. So whenever you don't do it, you know you're under the law of sin and death. Now then is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now that is the problem right there, the sin that dwelleth in me. Because the scripture says that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm under the impression there ain't going to be no more sin in me. I'm a new creation. I'm a good boy in the gospel. Sin should never bother me again. That's the impression I had. I felt like that 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 6 and verse 18, says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body and in your mind. How in the world can I reconcile sin living in me if the Holy Spirit's there? You see what I'm talking about? Depression and confusion and everything else. It takes a miracle. It takes a miracle from God to straighten our minds out about this. This is what they call the Christian warfare. That's what theologians call the Christian warfare. The fact that we're not supposed to have sin in us, but we do. We're supposed to have the Holy Spirit, but we don't. We want to do this, we can't do it. We don't want to do that, we wind up doing it. It's just on and on and on. And unless God gives you assurance and grace and mercy, you cannot live with it. Because you know all the time you're falling short. I don't care how sovereign you believe God is. I don't care if you think that Jesus paid it all. Somebody like the Wesley brothers could write a song, Jesus paid it all. They didn't no more believe that than nothing. It's not what comes out of here. It's what comes out of your mind and out of your heart. And if you're confused about your own salvation, you're confused about sin in your life, you're not a productive Christian. You're a confused Christian. So that is what's called a Christian warfare in verse 18. For I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Kneel down by your bed and try to pray for 5 minutes. Somewhere along the line, your mind will wander and you'll be thinking about pickup trucks and deer hunting and shotguns and everything. You go, what am I thinking? And you'll go back. You can sit out in the pew and listen to a gospel message and try to keep your mind on it. The things that you don't want to do, you wind up doing them. You wonder how in the world. This has literally happened to me. We'd work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I'd sit in church, because if you don't go to church, you'll probably go to hell. I'd sit in that church and I'd doze off and I'd wake up and I'd think, how can a child of God sit in front of a gospel preacher and go to sleep? It's the weakness of the flesh. In this flesh dwelleth no good thing. And when the dust settles, and you're looking back at your former life, and you know that God has called you, and you want to hear the things of Christ, and you want to be with the people of God, and all of a sudden you realize there's not been a great big change. Not really. Not really. It really will do a number on your assurance. You see, the people of God are in the same mud hole as the people of the world before God calls them. Scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 that before that time, speaking of the time we were called by the Lord, born again and called by the Lord, that before that time you were without Christ. You're a natural person. I was a natural man. I didn't know anything about Christ. I didn't care anything about Christ. I didn't want to hear anything about Christ. You were without Christ. I was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. This is the commonwealth of Israel right here. I didn't want to be around the people of God. I didn't want to hear anything from the people of God. I didn't want to even associate with them before God called me. I was a stranger to the covenants of promise. I didn't care anything about the eternal covenant of grace. I'd never heard of the eternal covenant of grace. I didn't want anything to do with it. I had no hope. My hope was my job and my family. I hoped I'd keep healthy enough to keep working until I had enough money saved up to quit working. I hoped that my wife wouldn't get tired of me and leave me because I'm hard to live with. But I had no hope about heaven or Christ or the things of God. And the final thing was this, without God in the world. I was at enmity with God. I was just like everybody else, every natural born person. That's what I was before God called me. But after God called me, I could not reconcile myself to the fact that I still sinned. It's only been about the last 2 years that I've learned to discern between being free from condemnation and being free from sin, and that's what it boils down to right there. We are free from condemnation, but we're still living in a body of sin. And there's no help for it. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, and this is the law of sin and death. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, where the Christian falls short is this, where I fall short. About 4,000 years ago, give or take about 20 years, there was an old man, well over 100 years old, and a young boy climbing up the side of a mountain in the country of whatever. And the boy's carrying a load of firewood, and he's carrying some coals of fire. They carried him in a little clay vase. They'd put coals in there, and they had little holes, and they would stay hot, and you could build a fire. He's carrying a load of firewood, and he's carrying the coals of fire. And he said, "My father." And Abraham said, "My son, here am I." And he said, "Here is the wood, and here is the fire. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And we lose sight of the fact that if God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, he'll provide everything to go with it. He'll take care of everything. He's not going to leave anything undone. He chose us before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and without blame before him in love. He gave us to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. He did all of these things. And then he made a world for us to live in. And even when Adam ruined this world, the Lord Jesus Christ was not Plan B. God doesn't make up plans as he goes along. The Lord was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. All of these things were taken into consideration, and I'd be a fool to think that my own personal sin after God called me was not taken into consideration. We're weak in faith. That's what I am. And all I can do is cry, "Lord, increase my faith. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Verse 23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." And we go through life trying to overcome our own sin, trying to atone for our own sin, trying to pray it through, trying to be a better man, trying to be a better woman. We do all of these things, and none of them are going to work. Not one thing we can do is going to add to our salvation. It's all been taken care of. But we come to this point, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But I'm going to tell you something. God will send a gospel preacher to every child of God sooner or later. And he'll bring a gospel message. And this gospel message is this: comfort ye my people. Cry unto Jerusalem that her warfare is accomplished." I'm not in a war. It's already been won. There is no warfare. Christ has taken care of everything. Praise God, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Verse 1, chapter 8. "Them that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh." There's therefore now no condemnation, now that the Lord Jesus Christ has chosen me before the foundation of the world and made me his child. Now that he was born into this world in the fashion of a man, now that he lived a sinless life, now that he pleased the Father every second of every minute of every hour of his whole life, now that he died on the cross, now that he rose from the grave, now that he's ascended up into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father and ever maketh intercession for me, now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Still in sin, still living in the flesh, but free from condemnation. That's the thing right there. That's the thing. God will take care of my sin. You know, whenever God called you, before God called you, you think killing somebody is a big sin. After God called you, you think losing your temper is. Sin kind of shrinks down into more personal things after God called you. But even them, they've been taken care of. Greg preached the best message I've ever heard in my life last Sunday on forgiveness. I didn't even get home. I'm probably thinking bad thoughts about somebody that I don't like. All of these things are accounted for and taken care of. He's not going to leave us comfortless. He will send a gospel preacher to show us that our sins are gone. I'm not going to die for my sin because I don't have any. The Lord Jesus Christ has already taken care of that. I don't know why I worry about little mundane things every day. It's because we're still in the flesh. Because there's still a law in our members that's fighting all of our good intentions. There's still the old man that's hanging on to you and not going to let go until the Lord takes you out of this life. But one thing I do want to point out, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're in Christ Jesus, you've always been there. There's never been a question about our condemnation. We went into union with the Lord Jesus Christ when he accepted us from God the Father. We are in union, in eternal union with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If you were in Christ, you've already overcome the devil. If you are the Son of God, command these stones that they may be made bread. As it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You were there in Christ when he did that. He did that for us. He's overcome Satan. He's overcome darkness. He's overcome sin. He's done everything. The only thing lacking is when I lay this sinful body down and my spirit goes up to be with the Lord. Then it'll be complete. If you're in Christ, if you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you're in Christ, you will do that. You will do that. God has taken care of everything. Do I walk after the Spirit or do I walk after the flesh? A walk is a daily life. There's no way, no possible way that I can love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my body, with all my soul, and with all my mind. I wish I could. But Christ has done that for me. Do my thoughts dwell on earthly things? Or do my heart and my mind, do they reach up to God for help, grace to help in time of need? Do I depend on my own strength to get through something, or do I ask God for the grace to do it? Do I walk after the flesh, or do I walk after the Spirit? If I walk after the Spirit, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. If I walk in the flesh, I'm not. those that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. Now we're going to die. You know that as well as I do. So that's not the death it's talking about. Scripture does say that the Lord Jesus Christ came to take away the bondage of the fear of death. It does say that. But there is a second death. If you are still, or if I am still under the law of sin and death, I'm going to die the second death. But I'm free from that. The Lord Jesus Christ has ransomed my soul. He's died on the cross for me. To think that I can add anything to that, to me, is the worst kind of blasphemy that there can be. To think that God would have the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. To think that the Lord Jesus Christ would create this world and everything in it. To think that God would maintain the balance of nature for going on 7,000 years now. To think that God was a supreme being and to think that he had to ask you or depend on you to accept Jesus Christ don't even make good sense. He's either God or he's not. If he's God, he doesn't ask anyone's permission. We are content with the fact that God chose us before the foundation of the world. We pray for others that God will bring them to a knowledge of the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16, I believe it is, or 12. Says, we're bound to give thanks unto God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. For God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth are two things that are outside of this flesh. There are two things that only God can do, is set you apart in the Spirit and open your mind to the truth. Now, if we have a problem with sin, we need to lay it at Jesus' feet. And that is the truth. We need to go to the Lord and say, Father, forgive me for what I've done. Forgive me and give me the grace to forgive others. I can honestly say right now at this particular minute, if I change before I get home, I don't have anything against anybody. I dearly love everybody in this room. Even if you're not here, I don't hold it against you. Because except for the grace of God, I'd be out there and you'd be in here. But I need to realize that I'm not going to make it on my own. The flesh is stronger than I am. And I need to quit thinking if I could pray more, if I was more spiritual, if I could just say the right words, that things would be different. But no matter what comes out of my mouth, unless God applies it to your heart, it's not going to make any difference. It's not going to help one way or the other. We're so fortunate to have Greg here. I've never seen a gospel preacher as well balanced as he is about the scriptures. And even if I am bragging on him, it's not going to lift him up. He's not that kind of a man. But the Lord has blessed me and Deanna more than I can ever tell you, bringing us here. Content. Down there in Texas in a little bitty Calvinistic nest, bragging on each other what we knew about the scriptures and all that kind of stuff, preachers preaching to each other, never entered our mind that there was a whole world of truth that we weren't even touching. A whole world of good things that God has in store for us that we didn't even know about. fighting the Christian warfare. I told a preacher that God used when he first called me, I said, I wish I had a list of things to do so I could do them and quit worrying about them. You know what he told me? He said, that would be nice. There's nothing I can do. Not one thing. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. The carnal mind, and Paul said he's carnal. His body's carnal, but his mind is not. The carnal mind is enmity against God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's talking about people that walk after the flesh, who devote their time and their energies to doing things to make them feel good. Doing things to give them assurance that they're a good person, really a good boy, really a good girl, because I gave money to the Salvation Army. None of these things matter. None of them matter. What we do is what God gives us opportunity to do. God will very carefully watch over His children. He brought us here to hear the truth, didn't He? I mean, look at me. I'm never over one breath away from dying. I'm old. But God brought us here to give us peace of mind, to teach us that the things that you fight are not important, to teach us that our warfare is accomplished. Give it up. Stand still and see the Lord. That's it. Father, we ask that you watch over us, Father. You'd give us the assurance that we so desperately want, Father, that you'd show us the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His glory, Father, that you'd open our hearts and minds to each other, that you'd give us the grace to bear one another's burdens, Father, to love one another, to go out of our way to be kind to one another. We'd ask, Father, that you'd give us all of these blessings, Father, because you loved us before the foundation of the world, Father. We ask that you do these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's close with 232 from your hardback tenor. I'm about to sing this song, a cappella. Christ, our Redeemer, died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus will save. All he has promised that he will do. Wash in the fountain, open for sin, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Judgment is coming, all will be there, each one receiving justly his due. Hide in the saving, sin-cleansing blood, and I will pass over you. When I
See the blood. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. O great compassion, O boundless love, O loving kindness, faithful and true, find peace and shelter under the blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.